Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 9th, 2017. Today we're joined by our co-host, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing well. How are you doing?
And we're joined by our other co-host, the author and climate hawk, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, good, good. So we are recording this show in a spirit of euphoria on the day after Election Day of 2017. Let me put the ball at you, Mariah. What happened yesterday that was good news for sort of the progressive end of the spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of big upsets, right? With Virginia Northam, I can't remember his first name, but he took over I don't have. D.R. might have better details on that.
Yes, Ralph Northam. He won the Virginia gubernatorial election in a rout over Ed Gillespie, who basically ran this sort of one of the sleaziest campaigns of all time, but it didn't pay off for him.
And so there was a actual in Virginia, all of the statewide seats went to what you would call progressive candidates, and there was a pretty significant shift in the House of Delegates, which may still play out to give the people, the right-thinking people, to put them in charge of the House of Delegates in Virginia. And then up in New Jersey, again, the sort of left side of the political spectrum won big in New Jersey. Took the governorship, and then I got that one.
Phil Murphy, yes. Took over for governor of New Jersey.
Mariah, what happened out in the state of Washington and with a great blue wall, and why does that matter, even without names?
So the Democrat, I don't know if I'm going to say her name correctly, but Monica Dingra won the special election to take a Washington State Senate seat. And that gave, you know, the Democratic Party full control of the state government. So that's a big deal out there.
Both California, Washington, and Oregon are all basically in a lock for the blue states, right?
Yes. And I think it also, a lot of the Republicans in the Senate in Washington were preventing Governor Jay Inslee, who's been doing a lot of really strong things for climate action. They've been preventing him from enacting a lot of his legislative priorities as far as climate action goes. And so, you know, having this control of the Senate, it's going to really free him up to do some of his plans, such as a carbon tax and other policies for climate, really great climate action.
So I guess that's, since this is a show about climate change and climate change news, let me ask you, D.R., what are the implications of the election results from yesterday? Besides, I mean, this great one out on the West Coast where now a climate hawk is unleashed, or I guess they should say they took the little hook off his feet so he can fly around and do what he needs to do, right? What about the East Coast?
I think with a brief mention of the West Coast, I think the interesting thing is going to be if, in fact, a carbon tax is passed, what the nature of the carbon tax will be. Because if you remember a year ago, you had the I-732 in Washington State, the effort to pass essentially a revenue neutral carbon tax that failed at the ballot box. And one of the reasons why, according to the progressive radio host Sam Cedar, it failed was that some climate hawks intentionally refused to support it on the grounds that revenue neutrality didn't guarantee reductions in emissions, and therefore if there was a carbon tax that was going to be implemented, they wanted the revenue to be put towards enacting a clean energy infrastructure. So it'll be interesting to see if the carbon tax is essentially revenue positive, for want of a better word, with the funds collected going to clean energy, or if there will be another push for revenue neutrality. And with regard to the New Jersey and Virginia.
New Jersey, I like that one. The state of New Virginia.
So, apparently, the newly elected governor, Phil Murphy, has promised that he will put his state back into the regional greenhouse gas initiative, the regional cap and trade initiative that Massachusetts is a part of, that former outgoing governor, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, pulled his state out of. There is tremendous speculation that Virginia, under the leadership of Governor-elect Northam, will have his state join Reggie, and will also take some more aggressive statewide action to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So you could be seeing an East Coast and a West Coast wall of resistance to what Trump and Scott Pruitt are trying to cook up in Washington.
And I think that since not everyone is fully up to speed with Reggie is an acronym for RGGI, which stands for Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, and it's essentially a cap and trade program amongst power plants. And right now, it extends from New York, it's basically the New England states, with the exception of, I think, New Hampshire, and New Jersey was originally in it. Of course, New Jersey is a pretty big, a lot of population, a lot of power plants. If they come back in, it just increases the size of the market. And if a state like Virginia comes in, that's really good. I mean, that sort of gives momentum to the whole idea of cap and trade. So that's good. That's good. I guess. Go ahead, Mariah.
I think around sometime in September, like maybe September 21st or something, we did a whole show about Reggie and why it's important and how successful it's been. I can't remember the numbers, but they've committed to like a 30% drop in emissions rate over the next decade, and they've made gained a lot of money, a lot of income from these plans, and a lot of good stuff going on with the Reggie in those states.
Yeah, it's a great program. It's interesting. Reggie's a great program. They are now aggressive in setting the targets for 2030. Targets being the emission levels that are allowed and force the purchase of permission slips to emit and under that lower cap. But to your point, Mariah, it's also kind of a model now for a transportation-related cap and trade system. So we talked a couple of shows ago about how Massachusetts is trying to improve make the transportation system more green, and the idea of a cap and invest kind of model that's somehow modeled on Reggie is floating around out there in the zeitgeist. So it's a good thing.
And just for what it's worth, these places, these states like California and this Reggie Pact are really creating a lot of economic success. And I was listening on NPR today. They were talking about, Trump meeting over with in China and how China is really moving forward in all the future industries. And they said specifically artificial intelligence and green energy, because this is where the economy is going. This is where the money is going, really. And, you can see it here in our country, where the states that are participating in green energy are the ones that are having the best economic success.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's so I think that the events of Election Day this year are great news. There's lots of little particular stories that we could touch on within that. But I guess the major point I would make as far as elections, and I'm sure you two guys would echo this, is that this is what happens when people vote. I think former President Obama put up a tweet saying this is what happens when people vote. And this kind of impact should happen in the next election, especially around climate issues. And we can make such a thing happen. Right. Here's proof that it happened once. We got to do it again. Right.
Right.
So we're not going to stray far from the idea that climate hawks have to vote. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So there's that. God bless the United States of America.
To kind of reflect that too, I know we were talking a little bit about right now the Conference of the Parties, the 23rd session in Bonn, Germany is happening, right? It's November 6th, I think, through 17th. And we could talk more about that, because I think that's a big deal. It's really a lot of exciting stuff going on there. But notably, sort of in connection with Reggie getting together and states really taking a lot of action, on November 11th, Saturday, November 11th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the conference, Let's see. Michael Bloomberg, California's former, New York's.
New York City mayor.
And California's Governor Jerry Brown are going to release a new report called America's Pledge Phase One. And it states cities and businesses in the United States are stepping up on climate action. That's the name of this report that they're going to release on Saturday, November 11th. And, you know, I think it's really trying to say to the world, sure, our president may be making some really serious missteps in terms of global leadership, but America is not. And I don't know if, you know, I gave the date and time, but I don't actually know if you can access it unless you're, you know, participating in sort of the public, the open public portion of the COP23. Right. But I would assume they're going to have it sort of, you know, videotaped and released, and it will be interesting to watch.
I remember a couple of years ago, the COP20, the Paris meeting was on TV. You could see it on TV. You could certainly get it online. I remember watching it live online. So I should look to see if, but before we go too much farther, let me just say, correct me if I'm wrong, just that everyone's on the same page. This, we keep talking about COP with a number, COP. This is a conference of the parties. They are biannual. Every other year there's a meeting of the, there's a conference of the parties, and the parties are the countries that are part of the framework that's addressing climate change globally, right? So we have the shorthand of COP, and 23 happens to be held in the city of Bonn, right? 2 years ago it was in Paris. It was in, you know, all different cities around the world. And this is the basically a working meeting, right, of where the countries of the world send delegates to work out some aspect of the treaty. Right. And Mariah, I'm not sure if you can fully lay it out, but the question is I think that what's on the agenda for this COP23, this Conference of the Parties, number 23 in Bonn, is to try and understand how individual countries are going to meet their promises. Right. Is that the idea?
Yeah. So, you know, somebody writing in The Guardian described the importance of the Bonn meeting is sort of saying that the Paris Agreement set out the principles, but not the details. And one diplomat likened it to having a brilliant new smartphone, but no operating system for the smartphone. So the Bonn meeting is essentially making that operating system. Mm-hmm. Here's how we're going to implement the you know, principles we committed to in Paris. This is how our country is going to actually meet those targets and meet those goals. And so it's really, you know, working together to craft, you know, I think specific policies to some degree.
I think it's kind of the rules of the road, right? Because understanding is each country gets to make its own internal plans, and they're making some kind of promise up to the world, right? And so the question is, how are they going to accomplish their promises, right? How are they sort of like the action items you get when you go to a meeting that everyone tries to avoid.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think it's sort of this idea that peer pressure will hold people to things, you know? And I will say, so that I think the conference of the parties met, COP22 was last year in Marrakech. I don't know how to say that. Marrakech, Morocco, same time. But there wasn't a ton of conversation around that, I think, because it was sort of like, okay, we've made this deal. And certainly now the Bonn meeting has gotten a lot of publicity, I think in part because literally every single nation except for the United States has signed Paris, right? It used to be that Syria and Nicaragua were the only holdouts, Nicaragua, because they felt that the Paris Agreement wasn't strong enough. And I don't know, I don't
Syria,
fully know
because
the
they didn't have
Syria.
Yeah, I don't think they had anybody they could send. But
But they've signed on now, so we're the only one. And actually, Cristina Figueres, who was the leader of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, COP21, she actually thanked Trump, saying, well, you've provoked an unparalleled wave of support for the treaty we made in Paris. You shored up the world's resolve on climate action. And, you know, to be honest, to some degree, we're sort of, the United States is being sort of disregarded. I don't know that's entirely true, you know, because you have Bloomberg stepping up and Jerry Brown stepping up to help represent. But
leadership, global leadership, I mean, these guys are blowing it, right? In terms of United States.
Yeah, they, I mean, you know, they basically, you know, Trump just handed a really big, you know, tidy gift
to
Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, who's like, well, thanks, that's great, now I can fill the vacuum you just left, you know, in world leadership.
I mean, the COP23, I guess it must be yearly now that one of the things that's coming down the pike, just since we will talk about it, is that the Paris Accord came in 2015. And they promised, everyone sort of said, Scout's honor, we're going to come back in 5 years and revisit our commitments. So one of the COPs that's coming, one of the Conference of the Parties that's coming in the next couple of years will be to revisit all of the promises and hopefully, and the buzzword is to increase ambitions. Everyone's going to come back
ratcheting.
And ratcheting up their promises. So this is the kind of process that goes through the Conference of the Parties mechanism, right? Which is
So interestingly about this bond meeting, generally the country that hosts it is the, well, I don't know if that's true though. But at any rate, interestingly, there's always a nation leading the conference. And this year, the nation that's going to be leading it is Fiji, which is one of the small island nations that's most at risk from sea level rise and the extreme storms, you know, expected from climate change. And so, you know, obviously Fiji couldn't host host the conference. So it's being hosted in Bonn, but,
interesting,
you know, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize that.
And I think that'll have some, you know, when you're a country that's really been, I think it was Cyclone Winston struck Fiji in 2016 and really devastated. It's, you know, over $1 billion in devastation to Fiji. And, you know, so I would assume that the Prime Minister of Fiji, Frank Bainimarama, can speak in very heartfelt ways how we need to work on this.
A lot of moral authority in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I said before I was proud of these United States, but it's in terms of the Paris Climate Accord, we will do ourselves proud when we get back into it, right? When we finally realize the error of our ways.
Well, all right. One more shout out to Michael Bloomberg. He has actually said he will pay the $15 million for the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC administration costs, if the U.S. Really? Government won't. Yeah, so he's stepped up to, like, you know, so good for some of the United States.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, look, we got to put it down there. So sort of great news on the election front and proof that voting works. So keep that in mind. Say that to yourself every morning as you have your oatmeal. And the COP23 process is going and we have Americans there doing the right thing. November 11th, right? We should keep an eye on that report on America's Pledge come this Saturday, right? All right, well, look, we'll put up some links to what we talked about here on the blog. The blog is at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find, you can also get to that blog through our Facebook page at /massclimateaction. Of course, you can just like the Facebook page and learn all kinds of interesting and entertaining things. You can listen to the show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Overcast, Podbean, SoundCloud, and yada, 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 other directories. You can, of course, find us on iTunes. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for being here, Mariah.
Thanks for having me.
DR, thanks for making the time to be with us.
Thanks.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.